Jesus.
We worship you, Father.
We reverence you.
So good, Father. Thank you, Lord. James says every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So there's nothing bad that our Father can give us. Nothing bad comes from heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed is the man that endureth in temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So we're not in this thing for a short run, you know. You can tell with this church and with the message, you know, this church isn't really a church. The prayer center really isn't a church. It's we've heard it over and over again. It's a training center. It really is. So we're being equipped, and we know what's coming in the forehand. We know what's coming. We know what's coming, and what's coming is before we leave this earth, we're going to bring a whole lot of people with us. That's what's coming. I don't care about all the other rigmarole that takes place in the middle of it, but I know one thing: we're going to take a lot of them with us when we go. Before we go, I mean, that's what it's all about. That's the Great Commission. And that's what this training center is training us to do, is to love people like the Lord loves us, you know. Because if we start loving people, we don't worry so much about our own needs and our own cares and, I don't have a house, I don't have this, I don't have that. You know what? The more that I learn to go in and learn to love my Lord and learn to trust Him, faith is trust in Him. And the more that I do trust Him, I see that He's always there for me, no matter how I, how long I want to wallow in something. And I'm thankful those days are shorter than they used to be. I know it doesn't take so long now to wake up, and faith to me is, faith is praying and faith is believing the Word of God, you know. That's what faith is. So hallelujah, Jesus. So I'm just going to go through James a little bit and see what he has to say. James 1:24 says, I'll actually back up a little bit further than that. It says, 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you want to keep playing, that's nice. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man but beholding his natural face in the glass. So showing us a natural situation for what this man is doing. See, 24 says, he beholds, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his own way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And in 25 said, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So he looks at himself. I mean, he talking about a believer here, looking at himself, and he's like, well, you know, maybe he's saying something, you know, positive to himself, but just as soon as the tide changed, or just as soon as a circumstance maybe came down the corner, he forgot what kind of man he was. He forgot who he is. You know, the devil's really good at tricking us up on that, trying to forget, trying to tell us who we're not, you know. Try to say, well, you failed yesterday, and you see that you failed the day before that. And do you see any real changes in your circumstance or in your church's circumstance and all these things? See, he has nothing to rely on but yesterday. But the Word of God says that we are more than conquerors. We are the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. And as we trust the Word and really put the Word to work, all the little things that the devil or yesterday wants to say to us really don't mean anything. Because our yesterdays don't dictate our future. Our future is a bright and wonderful future. And when I get around people that are sick or not feeling good or whatever's going on, I just look at them and I say, hey, the Lord says, the Word says that your latter days shall be greater than your former. So you're not done yet. This little thing is going to pass. This sickness is going to leave your body. You ain't done yet, man. And, you know, just the Word is so encouraging, you know, because that's absolutely right. So it doesn't matter how old you are or what you've been going through or what's going on or what yesterday looks like. The Word of the Lord says our latter days shall be greater than our former, than our past days. And that's an absolute, you know. I hang on that one a lot because I've had a lot of bad yesterdays. And but they don't dictate my today or dictate my tomorrow, that's for sure. So that man forgets what manner of man he was. The devil comes in there, steals the Word from him, you know, before it gets into his heart, you know, and that's what the Word says. He comes to steal the Word immediately, you know. So he comes in revelation knowledge, and we all have had revelation knowledge. We hear revelation knowledge all the time, but revelation knowledge for ourselves, our personal selves, and we all have had some when we dig into the Word of God and meditate on that Word. And I was telling Marty earlier, a little earlier tonight, that, you know, I've read the book of James, you know, I don't know how many times, but for many years. I mean, it seems like if I don't know, and I've been wanting to kind of, you know, I want to go read this and go read that, and I do. But if I really want to ask the Lord what he wants me to read, he goes, James. So apparently I haven't gotten James yet. But it says in 26, if any of you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. But then 27 says, pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father. Is this, to visit the fatherless. This is pure religion. And the widows in their affliction. And to keep himself, myself, yourself, unspotted from the world. So the visit the fatherless, well, we know who those are. Those are the lost. They don't have a father yet. All right. We know who those are. The widows. Who are the widows? Apparently they had a husband prior and they don't have one no more. So apparently they may be backslidden. The widows, you know. And it says, you know, here's what we're to do, you know. If any among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, which means we're not gonna, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. So we bridle our tongue, which means we're not going to speak double-minded things any longer. We're not going to say something negative about somebody. You know, and sometimes it's kind of commonplace. It's not even really like we're trying to say something negative, but I've noticed in my life here just recently, in a couple of situations, I thought I had totally free from any kind of unforgiveness or any kind of ought, like Dave likes to call that. And I was praying for this individual, and the Lord told me, he stopped me in the middle, and I said, well, and the Lord kind of corrected me and says, well, you can pray for him, but I didn't realize that that stuff had kind of just gnawed on me enough where I really, totally, truly haven't forgiven him myself. And that kind of amazed me because, you know, you think your heart's pure before him. I mean, you kind of think it is, you know. I mean, I didn't feel any anxiousness when I think about him. I don't think negative things. But the Lord still told me that I had something still against him. He said, so if you truly want to pray for him, and you truly want to pray for him, then you really need to know that there was still something, all that little ear chewing you've been hearing has affected my walk, or has affected my thoughts about him in a way. And after I thought about that, he was absolutely right. So I made some adjustments and changes, and then I prayed for him and will continue to also. I want the best for him. I want him to be where he's supposed to be with the Lord, you know, no matter what. So that was interesting. It was good for me to know that, because I really thought that, you know, sometimes we think, you know, well, I don't have any out with anybody, and I didn't think I did, and I was corrected. Hallelujah, Jesus. And then it says, chapter 2, brethren, have not faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you an assembly of men, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come unto you also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou there in a good place, and ye say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye then not partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to those who love him? And when I was reading that, you know, I've read that so many times. You know, the Lord says, you know, sit here, you know, says to the poor, sit here. And, you know, the man in godly apparel, he might be somebody that we look up to in the you know, like, you know, Dave or something. We kind of maybe exalt him to a place or something. And, you know, even Paul, some of the guys that he was dealing with, you know, they said, well, I follow Apollos, you know, I follow Paul. You know, they had a favorite, you know. And, you know, and Paul corrected him and said, hey, you're not to have any favorites here. I mean, there's no one that's better than anyone else. I mean, just because someone is a mouthpiece for the word of the Lord doesn't mean he's anyone better than the person who cleans out the sanctuary here and vacuums and all that. That person is no greater than that one whatsoever in God's eyes. And I think that's what he's kind of saying here. It's like, you know, if we've taken favor one over another, and the poor man, well, you know, he's definitely needing some help. You know, I don't know if he's, you know, born again or not, but he needs help. But he's not important in our eyes, or we're focusing on maybe a place of exaltation or chumming up with somebody. I mean, I know none of us do that, you know, but I'm just reading letting you know what I see in the Word of God here right now. And when I was reading that, I was seeing that, you know, that favoritism. It says down a little farther, that favoritism, you know, it says in 10, so for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all, you know. So that was just kind of like I was telling you before, that little bit of ought that I had in my heart, It wasn't like I was offended towards him or anything like that, but there was still something in me that wasn't totally free, that, you know, and just as soon as I said, well, Lord, I'm gonna really pray for him, and he stopped me, and he, like, basically he said, like, don't pray until you deal with this little bit of ought that you have, or this little bit of unforgiveness that you've heard from other people that have something against him. And somehow down the road there, I sided up with them and not with him. I guess that's what I did. I kind of sided with them because I saw the stuff too that was negative. So I kind of sided up with him. And I think that's kind of what it's saying here. I had respect for the ones that were doing right, maybe more than the one that was doing wrong, see? And it was wrong. The Lord told me I was wrong. I was wrong to think that way. And it just shocked, and it didn't shock me, but it made me, I was thankful. It's like, well, Lord, thank you so much for showing me that, because I did not realize I made such a slight adjustment, you know, in my walk. And I favored those that seemed to be right and seemed to be offended by the other. And I told them I'm going to pray for the other, but I was a little offended too because I had made a choice. I sided up with the others, see, and that's kind of what he's saying here. You know, have respect for the one wearing the gay clothing, the one that's, well, hey, I'm doing right, and this one offended me over here, you know, so stick with me. And the poor man, the one that's not been doing right, maybe, I don't do right a lot of times either. And then I kind of like, well, I'll pray for him, but in the deep part of my heart, maybe I really didn't want him around, see. And boy, it really made me look at that. Because the word says in 10, James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, in one little thing, I am guilty of it all, see. I'm guilty of it all. And then I wonder why my prayers aren't answered. Then I wonder sometimes, well, Lord, is it just because that's just the way it is, or it's just the way I am, or it's just the way the situation is? No. We have authority over everything. Everything, every situation, every consequence, everything that's going on. But why don't my prayers get answered? Well, you know, Dave beat on that and beat on that and beat on that for that whole last time he was here for that 6 days. That's all he talked about was ought. And I wondered, you know, it's like, yeah, but I don't have any. So, maybe Renee does, you know. But see, he's not talking about you or you or you. He's talking to us. He's talking to each and every individual. We all need to look at that for ourselves. Because if we have any, there's got to be something that's going on. Why, you know, what's, you know, we need to be a bride that's going to be pure before the Lord. And that's how we're going to get pure. So as we continue just to pray and stuff, and like I said, I read and read and read this stuff. I had never seen it quite like this before. And then he had then I just went through this with a guy where I said, I'm praying for him. But what was really amazing was, it says that whoever shall keep the whole law, you know, I thought I was keeping the law, you know, thought I'd been doing right, you know. But I had this one little thing. I was, you know, I was offended in one little point, one very little thing, nothing that would have hurt anyone. I was guilty of all. And that's how the Word of God is. It doesn't mingle. It cannot mingle with anything that's not pure. And I was reading, it's funny, I call it James 3:16, you know, because everybody knows John 3:16. But James 3:16 has been a real powerful scripture to me. It says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. He's not a part of it, folks. He's not a part of that stuff. And I used to think, well, if they're doing a little bit of good, then they're doing some good, right? There is, I'm not involved in that. He don't mix himself with that. I mean, he doesn't mix himself with strife. And the thing about strife is where it's around, when it's around, it brings confusion immediately. And every evil work is involved in all that mess. So, I'm just going to read a little bit what I got here. It says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." He doesn't realize that he is in error, that he favors one over another. And he is guilty of all, a form of offense, not realizing it'll hinder our prayers every time. And in verse 11 says, verse 11, "Can offense of any kind, knowing or not, is like, it's like murder," because 11 says, "For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art a transgressor, thou art become a transgressor of the law." So, you know, I read that so many times, like, what does that mean? It's like, okay, I haven't committed adultery, but he says, do not kill, but if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou have become a transgressor of the law. So I guess how I see that is my prayers become null and ineffective if I'm walking in any kind of ill manner. So the word, we know that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, that's what he comes to do. So when that word or when those thoughts aren't in our heart, they're just in our mind, they're easily taken from us. "For he will have judgment without mercy," it says in 13. This is 2:13. "You will be judged if you know about the offense or not." We need to get to know the Father, for his mercy rejoices against the judgment. And faith is being obedient to the word and knowing the word, not just quoting the word, but hearing it and meditating on it until it becomes revelation knowledge to us. And the light comes on and we truly understand it. The enemy comes to steal immediately after it is heard. Right after it's heard, he's there to take it. Because before it drops into our heart and becomes a nugget of understanding to us, that's when he comes to take it. Because we always think, well, how can the devil steal the word from me, you know? How can he come and steal it? Well, until it becomes, you know, revelation knowledge, but until it gets deposited in our heart, which means until we really understand it. You know, how many times have you heard a sermon or heard the, you know, like last Sunday, how much of last Sunday's even do you remember, you know, of what, if he got into the word? I wasn't here, but, you know, how much even do you remember? So that's why it's so important for us to meditate the word. I mean, meditation means reading it over and over and over again until that revelation knowledge gets deposited in our heart. So when pastor's going through the scripture and breaking them down for us and all those things that are so wonderfully done, it's our job to then go in and after that, like he told us to read Joshua just a few weeks ago, you know. He put it out there and he said, hey, go in there and dig deep, folks, so we can get the revelation knowledge so the devil can't come and steal those nuggets away. Because see, he comes and steals them real easily when only we've heard them and they haven't been deposited yet in our hearts. See, how does it get deposited in our hearts? By meditating and praying in tongues and doing the things we know and just going back over and over the word, and that revelation knowledge comes to each and every one of us. Then there's no more stealing. Then it's deposited. There ain't no more stealing that now, is there? So we know the tricks of the enemy, how he comes to do that. We heard it, but we didn't understand it, or we go dig deep ourselves, like I just said, so it stands alone as truth, for the word is truth, but not revelation knowledge, not in our hearts. So it takes faith to please God. So knowing, so hearing, then rereading and meditating, going over and over, reading the small little books over and over and over again. That's what brings that faith into us. That's where we become not just a hearer of the word, but then we're doers of the word. See, we're not just hearing what comes off the pulpit, and going listening to it and stuff. I go listen to a lot of the messages. I like I like doing it that way because I can pray in tongues and hear the word over and over again. I just have not really been able to be real good at praying in tongues and reading at it. I can do it sometimes, but I find most of the time I stop praying when I'm reading. I haven't. When Pastor says he can do it. I just haven't been very good at that one. So I like to listen to it sometimes, just listen to it, then pray in tongues and listen to the messages, and then going back in and reading the books over again. That's when it gets deposited in my heart, and that's when no longer can the thief steal from me. And then I just wanted to touch a little bit on what I was listening to from the conferences. Tim Stemple was talking about this, and it was just so good. I just wanted to share it. Pastor will probably get on this later too, but he talked about, and we know that we've crossed over the Jordan. We are in the promised land. We've been in there probably most of the year. Haven't really taken any land yet, but we are working on the offensive part of that, which is devil can't steal the word from us no more, okay? That's the only offensive thing that we have. Everything else that we do is kind of defensive, but the word of God, when we use it, that's the offense that we need. And when it's deposited, he can't come around and trick us up and say, yeah, but that didn't work yesterday. And we'll just come back like Jesus did, came back with it. He's like, yeah, turn these rocks and these stones into bread. And he came back with them, but with the word of God, with the word of God, with the word of God. And it stills the enemy immediately. But he knew it. He knew it was true. It was revelation knowledge in him. He wasn't just quoting scriptures because he knew them. He was quoting what was in his heart. And that's where we're going, and that's what's coming for us. So we're in a season of graduating to the world. Isn't that great? A season of graduating into the world, which means it ain't going to be long on this time of preparation that we've been in for all these years. Time in the wilderness, if you want to put it that way. That's time of preparation. When they were in the wilderness, they were supposed to be preparing to cross over. And they never got there. They all died there, and we know that. But see, we're not dying there. We have already crossed over because we've continued in and continued on. And we're in Jordan. So now what do we do there? Well, now it's time to dig deep. See, once you get over like an army does, once they get over, once they get into their place and they get dropped out of the parachute down or however they get there, first thing they do is dig trenches. They start digging around them so they have a place to because they're digging to fight. And we're in the promised land, so now we're going to dig and fight. So, okay, it's like, our minds would like to tell us, well, we're in the promised land now, so now we can take it a little easy. No. We're in the promised land now, so now we dig deep. Because, see, we have an adversary out there, and we pretty much know that, don't we? I mean, when something can get released on this earth just after the election, and I ain't pointing any fingers, but when some stinking devil can come out here and make a young man kill all these kids in a school, something's changed here, folks, hasn't it? Because we've never seen stuff like this before. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to dig deep, and we're going to use the word of God. And I'll tell you what, as these intercessors, we've thwarted so many things already that the enemy has planned, so many things. There's been some other things that I'm not going to get into that just happened or were supposed to happen in this country, and they did not happen because there was intercessors praying. A bomb was supposed to go off, and it didn't. Different things that I know about. One of them was dropped into the ocean, and they thought it was an earthquake until they checked it out. And I'm not going to say too much about that, but they realized it was just the tremors were, earthquake tremors because the tremors were coming, but they stopped real quickly. There was just one wave of tremors, so then they realized it was an explosion. So our prayers really do work. I mean, and the more we get into it, the more we're going to know that. I mean, we have every authority to loose the angels for our need. They're there to help us, and they're there to, and we can call on them, and we can send them out. I mean, that's, the Lord even said that. He said, when, before he went to the cross, he said, I could call on 12 legions if I wanted to right now, and they'd come. Well, don't you think we can do that too? We absolutely can. You know, I'm not saying praying to the angels, but I mean, they're there for our use. They're there for to help us. They're there to stop things in the spirit. So this time of preparation is really pretty much coming to the end. We're not really being fed manna no more, you know? And that's really the point, and that's really what Tim Stimple was even saying. It's like, we're not being fed manna no more. We're being hand-fed. We need to be on the offensive now. So we need the Word of God in us so strongly that it's revelation knowledge. It's not just hearsay, hear do. It's revelation knowledge, and we know that it works, and it'll work every single time in the days to come. It's the only thing that'll destroy the enemy. That's what'll destroy him. And as we walk into that more and more, as we trust faith, and as we walk in faith, and as we do those things, you know, perfect love is going to have its way. I mean, perfect love casts out all fear, it says. And it all fits together. It all fits together, jointly fitting together the Word of God. And just like we all jointly fit together, some of us may not really think, well, I don't even know what my calling is yet. Well, believe me, time of preparation is coming to an end. And there's nobody in here that's not ready for it. Even though that we don't think we're ready for it, well, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I don't have no clue how to even do my calling yet, the one that he's really called me to. But I know if I continue in, I'm going to know because he's going to show me, see. I know it. If I'm supposed to bring money into this kingdom, I have no idea how to do that. Every time I try, I fall on my face. But I'm not going to give up on that. And the greatest thing, the best place I'm at that with that right now is I know I can't do it. So that's a good place to be for me, because he's going to have to. But I'm just going to make myself usable and at his service for that time. And I think that's why he's got me in a book of James all the time, because it's the wisdom of the New Testament, Proverbs was the old and James is the new. So and then he was saying, the Lord says everything with truth and grace and truth. When the Holy Spirit comes to minister to someone, it's always with grace and truth. And like I said earlier, he's just, you know, this thing that we're, you know, the Word of God that we're understanding more and more each day, and the greatest part of the Word of God to me that that we have is it's the unadulterated truth. There's no mixture in it, you know. It's the truth and the truth only. And apparently, a lot of people don't look at it that way because there's so many doctrines out there. I was talking to some guys just recently, you know, and just checking out a couple of things, you know. I threw a couple of things out there to see how they'd respond, and they didn't respond very good. I thought, man, oh man, you know. Not everybody's on this walk, that's for sure. So I see a lot of different, I hear a lot of different things out there, and I just pray for them and think, Lord, it's all going to come together. Because even the, all the ones that we think, well, how are they ever going to, how is that doctrine going to change for them? Well, once the signs and wonders and miracles start happening, we're not going to be able to contain this thing. They're going to be, don't give your address out because they'll be waiting at your door when you get home. You know, and that's the truth. I mean, they will be, and they'll be coming. So, time of preparations. Getting close, man. So isn't that an exciting thing? So we get to meet a whole nother bunch of giants out here in the promised land. You know, and we'll be able to do what we have to do, walk right through, take the land, which means we're gonna religious folks are going to get freed up, you know. The Lord showed me many years ago, showed me a field that was burnt, the winds or lightning hits something and the whole area gets burnt and all the brush is burnt and the trees are still standing there, but they're burnt and charred. And I was looking at this field and thinking, geez, you know, that's a mess there. It's not, there was no life there. And he showed me that it was a spirit. It's what the spirit of religion done to people. The trees standing there, they were burnt and charred. Those were people. They were kind of lifeless. They didn't want nothing to do with God. But they knew him as younger people. They were brought up in church, okay? But religion burnt them. Religion said, I don't want nothing to do with God. How can God do this? How can God kill that kid? You know the stuff we hear people say, you know? And it breaks my heart when I hear it, because they don't even know the truth, see? So that spirit of religion that came in there and burnt the ground and left it so charred, the Lord says there's going to be another harvest out of that. So when I was reading James, you know, pure religion, James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep myself, yourself, unspotted from the world. Which means I ain't gonna have no ought when I hear all this negative stuff. I love these people. And when I see them talk bad about my Lord and blame him, he gets to blame for everything, I don't judge him for that. I grieve and my spirit grieves for they don't even know what they're saying. You know what I mean? But the Lord showed me that many years ago that field that's been so burnt is gonna be a harvest coming back out of that. So not only do we get to save the lost, the fatherless, there's a lot of widows out there, folks. There's a lot of widows, and they need us. So as we walk in, as we continue to walk in, and as we continue to be humble, 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 so humble. Because if I ain't humble, I ain't teachable. If I ain't humble, I ain't praying, man. I know that about me. If I'm not humble, I don't pray. Present day speaking, the prophecies and things. That's present day speaking, man, of our Father. Chew on him and chew on him like a cow chews on her cud. She'll go out in the pasture and eat all day long and then go down and lay down someplace and sit there and chew on that cud and chew on that cud. I mean, it's like chewing and chewing and chewing. So that's what we do. And that's what I think James is kind of saying in all this. We're gonna be doers of the word, not hearers only. Which means when I get instruction like, hey, go read Joshua, and I have to say, and I'll tell you all, I haven't been so faithful in the past. He'd tell me to read something, I didn't do it. I was doing my own thing. Well, I mean, I'm reading this. You know, what the heck is that? You know, where did that come from? Didn't come from the Spirit of God, I'll tell you that. So humble, and obey. Devil uses the past, and then he tries to tell you that he's right about your future. I mean, that's what he does. He can only use the past on us. So we are in the promised land, we really are, we're there. And as that word of God, as that continues to become revelation knowledge for each and every one of us, and it's gonna do that as we become doers and doers and doers of the word, doers of it, you know. Not just hearers, then he snatches it. So Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your love, Lord, and we thank you that you just loves you so much. He is our greatest cheerleader. He's not worried about things. I mean, he really isn't. He's not worried about things. But we are His, we are His extended arm. We are His mouthpiece. It says the little foxes, they'll, what is that? The little foxes spoil the vine. Well, what's the vine? The vine produces the fruit, right? So little foxes come, a little offenses come, a little of this comes, and well, I'm right here and you're not right. Little stuff comes, little pride, little this, little of that. And if the devil can get us to bite on any of it, man, he loves it, because then he's got us a half a degree off, a quarter degree off, and then he'll bide his time, because he'll know he'll be able to get us more off. Because once he gets a little, he'll get more. Unless we get correction, unless we continue to humble ourselves and say, Father, show me the truth. I don't want to be praying a prayer that ain't doing nothing no more. I don't want to have aught with no man. I want to love men. I want to love men and women. And I want to bring a whole bunch with me. So, hallelujah. That's it. Thank you, Jesus.